the podcast with everything paranormal. It's the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jennifer Shortridge, and me, Joe Shortridge. Woohoo!
What's up, player?
I should have said, coming to you from Toledo, Ohio.
We are in a very, very good spot right now, Joe. It is 80 degrees outside.
Yeah.
You know, when we were podcasting and it was winter, we were like, blah, blah, blah. But now that it's getting nice out, we can get out and do stuff, and some shows are coming up.
Shows are finally coming up.
I know, finally the conventions are coming back. Joe and I are really excited because we have a lot planned this summer and visit with all our friends again. We may have to be, you know, wearing our masks still, but that's okay. I know. That's what I was going to tell you the other day. We're not going to have just farmer tans this year. We're going to have mask tans.
Yeah.
So look out for that, people. You might have to use some bronzer to blend it in, you know.
Do they make thong masks where they're real tiny?
No. You should invite Joe. You can make $1 million. And then we wouldn't have to, you know, work so hard.
Yeah.
The thong mask, Joe. Thong mask. There you go.
Thong mask.
Thong. I remember Mom always called flip-flops thongs.
Well, yeah.
And then everybody was like, bah! So good. And she calls the coronavirus the carnivorous.
Yeah.
I have to laugh. It's so funny.
She got some special cookies for Easter.
Oh, my God. They ended up at my house.
Did they?
So my niece owns a bakery. It's called Seven Little Cupcakes. And it's in Perrysburg, Ohio. They do cakes, wedding cakes, cupcakes, and specialty cookies. So for Easter, she made my mom some cookies. And they were adult 18 and up plus cookies.
Penis cottontails. Here comes penis cottontail coming down the running trail.
So we give them to my mom and she's like, oh, these flower cookies are so pretty.
She realized what they were and she was like, oh. And she kind of handed them back.
She's like, well, I've seen one. I've seen them all. That's so funny. That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Welcome all our new listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners. Here we are. Just
this is what our show is all about,
I know,
folks.
Guys. We just, you know, we lament about our
ghost
family
penises.
And ghosts and strange and unusual things. And our family is at the top of that list, strange and unusual. But no, we really, Joe and I have read your emails and we read your comments. We really appreciate all the love that everybody's showing us and all the new listeners that have dropped in and are downloading all the shows and going back and listening from the beginning and all the way through our 248 episodes. I believe this is show number 248.
It is so weird to get an email from someone saying that they are binge listening to our show.
I know, it's amazing.
I've listened to every single show myself, but you know,
many times because you edit them. Yeah. But no, it's really interesting. Like, you know, having new people come on board and listen. So we really appreciate you guys. We do want to tell you a couple of housekeeping things just to let you know that, you know, we have a website and you can go to our website. We have a lot of information on there. We always put where we're going to be, our upcoming shows and events on there. And you can also shop for ghost hunting equipment. You can buy 222 Paranormal t-shirts. You can buy books of people that we've interviewed and my books. And, you know, so like, feel free to check it out and browse around it. Now, Joe and I have something really fun that we're going to do and just want to share with you guys. On May 8th, from 10 to 4, it's a Saturday, in Millstream Park, Valley City, Ohio, which is a suburb of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit south of Cleveland. We are doing this really, really fun event. It's called the Halfway to Halloween Flea Market. And it's buy, sell, and feast with food trucks. And it's sponsored by the Cleveland Haunts Club, which Jeff, who runs that, and his wife, they are amazing. You know, we've seen them at many mm-hmm. of the different conventions in around Ohio. They came to our convention. It was so amazing. So, guys, you know, if you're in the Ohio area and want to buy some spooky and scary and Halloween
all Halloween stuff, yeah,
event type things, come to my booth, Joe's booth, our booth. If you have, you know, paranormal stories, we'd love to talk to you. You know, we could definitely, you know, we'll bring the recording equipment. So if you guys got some spooky Cleveland ghost stories or something, let us know. There is another important announcement that we need to make as well.
Oh, yeah.
There is an incident going on in Ohio, and Joe will share with you right now what has happened in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Today, over the police radio, the call went out to wrangle up the monkeys that escaped from the zoo.
Our relatives. No.
Yeah, they're... I saw it on Facebook, of course, at first, and then I turned on the live chat, the live police scanner from Cincinnati, and they're down there searching for monkeys. Oh. I don't know where they're at, but and how many there are, but...
What type did they say?
They didn't say. They're just saying, look out for monkeys. And
oh, my gosh. Can you imagine driving along and suddenly you see something in the train? It's not a ghost. It's not a dog man. There's just some escaped monkeys from the
monkey
zoo.
Monkey man.
Oh, it could be a new urban legend, yes. Joe.
I was traveling through Cincinnati, and I saw the monkey man. He was on in trees.
So
very intriguing.
Very intriguing. Oh, man, you're good today. He's on it today. Anything else exciting happening, Joe?
No, but I would like to shout out to Wanda. You know who you are, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
She's going to New Orleans.
How exciting.
And she was asking me about places to go, and I was like, I could have told her 1,000 places, but.
Yeah, for sure.
It's her first time there, so.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. Wear comfortable shoes. That's
a lot of walking.
A lot of walking. Yep. So, you know.
On very rough sidewalks.
Yeah. Those 4-inch stilettos aren't not going to cut it.
Oh, I know.
You're going to wear some good old walking shoes. And drink lots of water, because you don't realize, you know, if you're coming from like the Midwest environment and you go down where the humidity is really high, you don't realize you're sweating that much, and then you get dehydrated really fast. So drink your water and wear your comfortable shoes, yeah. And see some ghosts and tell them we said hello.
Yeah. If you talk to Jonathan Wise, tell him we said hi.
Oh, yeah. Tell him 222 Paranormal sent you.
Yeah.
And listen to the show that we did. We did an interview with him, and it tells a lot about New Orleans and the history, and it was fabulous.
So when you're in New Orleans, there's a lot of energy there. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of antiques. There's voodoo dolls, which there's voodoo museums, but you can't touch the dolls. But a lot of psychics can actually, and people in general, if you train yourself, can touch items and actually sense things that happen to those items. And that's called psychometry. Now, this is kind of interesting, and it kind of helps understand how psychics work and how really anybody can tap into this.
Oh, that's interesting. So this is our topic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I kind of segued in. We're 9 minutes in already, and we haven't talked about our topic.
Hi, everybody.
But
it's our show.
Yeah, because, okay, everything has vibration to it. Every item has vibrations, as we know. We talked about crystals and that before. And different things vibrate at different levels. Higher the vibration, the more energy it has, stuff like that. And it's all due to the crystalline structure of the item. And the reason why crystals hold energy so well is because of that dense crystalline structure. And I've actually heard where you can actually use a crystal like a tape recorder.
Really?
And put the energy into it. Now, I don't know how. I guess we'd have to ask one of our psychic friends how to do that. But you got to think about this. Every single item that you look at or touch or that is basically at its core value made of energy. The atoms are made of energy, which the atoms create, you know, the stuff that we touch. So everything can absorb that energy. And we've talked about before, it's called the stone tape theory also, to where something in like a haunted house, that's why you see the hauntings, is because the environment encoded that energy into it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we see like residual hauntings.
Does the stone tape theory also include like scents? Because like, remember, like we've been in places and we smelled like cigar smoke, mm-hmm. and cigarette smoke, and nobody had been smoking.
I would think so.
Is that like...
I don't understand how that would work though. Maybe it's because the same thing where our human psychic abilities pick up that scent somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, that scent isn't actually in the air. You just, it's imprinted in your mind. And maybe mm-hmm. that's the same way that we talk to ghosts. Is I've heard that so many times where you could be standing next to someone and hear a voice in a room and the person next to you didn't hear it because mm-hmm. it's not actually in the air. Like right now, as we're talking, we're moving air, mm-hmm. but spirit doesn't work that way.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've been in both situations. I've heard things and person right next to me didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. Been in places where both of us, like whoever I was ghost hunting with, heard something at exact same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's freaky right there.
That happened at the Bone House to us.
Oh, yes. Remember?
Everybody heard different voices and stuff.
That was the craziest place ever, for sure. Yeah, definitely I would think that house, of all houses, stone tape theory, like...
Oh, yeah.
Throughout every floorboard, every wall, every brick in that place. Mm-hmm. There was energy,
yeah.
and so much sacrifice had happened in that place, animals and possibly humans. We can't, mm-hmm. allegedly.
You never know.
We can't prove that, but I mean, with the amount of bones that they found and things buried in the yards, yeah, you just don't know.
Well, you know, we're talking about the bones, and the human body definitely stores energy that way. There's different places that the body will store energy is in the bones, in the DNA, in the cells, the cell membranes, because the same way as like a crystal, your body has different layers, you know, same like crystalline structures in the cell membranes, which are called, which is called a phospholipid bilayer. I got to learn to talk. But that absorbs energies just like anything else. And that's why lots of times a psychic will have to hold someone's hand, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Like an object.
Okay. And that's what this goes back to, is every single object can absorb the energy. And by picking up that object, some psychics and some people can actually see like a videotape playing in their mind of what happened to that item or what happened around that item.
Okay. So, you know, say if somebody had a favorite locket and maybe that locket had a lock of hair or a photograph of somebody who passed away and they, you know, were maybe clutching onto it, mm-hmm. and sobbing and mourning and grieving, and or a ring or, you know, something that all of that energy and that emotion, does that get trapped inside of that object and then somebody can touch it and sense, mm-hmm. what that other person was going through that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And also that would go back to also if someone had a favorite pair of earrings that they wore every day, mm-hmm. they love those earrings. They put that energy into that, yeah. object.
I would think wedding bands have probably some of the highest vibration, yeah. Or psychic, I don't know, what would you call it? Like wavelengths coming,
yeah,
out of it?
Yeah, like, basically.
You know, like I after Dad died, went in and was holding his rings. And I was just like, I miss you, Dad. And, uh-huh. you know, it made me feel like I could feel him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And maybe you could.
Here I go with the tears. But, yeah, I would think something like that would have great amounts of, mm-hmm. Memories, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, like we say, the stone tape theory, that, mm-hmm. it's the stored energy of the event. And especially with rings, because a person wears a ring, mm-hmm. like a wedding ring or that, for a majority of their life.
Yeah, yeah. Years.
Yeah. So I understand where that would put a lot of that energy into it.
And you made a commitment with that ring, mm-hmm. right? So like it's almost like, not, I don't want this to sound wrong, like putting a curse on it, but it's putting a I don't know what the right word for it would be. Like, you made a promise on that ring, right? Like, so there's this bond or this, I can't think of
it's
the right
word.
It's
sort of like a curse, but it's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing.
I can't think. I know there's a certain word for it, but I have COVID brain today, but I'll think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
But, you know, because it goes back to the atoms and the electrons and protons in the actual atom, which is basically balls of energy. I mean, not really balls, but they're just energy things. And then, you know, you can go down even lower to like quarks and string theory and stuff like that. And even string theory, it's believed that when you shrink down, like, let's say you shrink down to a size where an atom is the size of the Earth, the people on the Earth would be, the string theory would be the little strings of energy. Okay, and then which makes up the atom and all that. It's quantum physics.
Yeah. I haven't read that book lately.
But it all goes back to the vibration. The string theory, the strings are vibrating, which makes substance.
Well, it's interesting because I read something the other day that plants actually give off vibrations, musical vibrations, and that they... Scientists are studying plants that give off, it's almost like songs.
Yeah.
So it's like, are they speaking to each other in a language we don't understand, which would totally relate to ghosts, spirits, fairies, you know, cryptids. Do they have a language we just don't understand and we can't hear? Is it a frequency so low that we don't hear it? Or,
you know, and that... It's weird that you mentioned that because I just listened to Mysterious Universe and I've been trying to find the episode. It was like 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago. Their episode was all about that, about how plants basically have life to where they know when it gets dark out, they have studied plants and they actually shrink.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, well, that's because of moisture in the air. And it's like, no, they actually did studies to where they put these plants in rooms and they couldn't tell if it was dark or light out, but yet they still shrank a little bit like they were going to sleep.
Oh, so interesting.
And
so,
all kinds of stuff like that. It's so bizarre. There's a few books wrote on that back in the 70s. There were a few books. One was, I think, called The Life of Plants or something. But they were just talking about that. I was just listening to that episode.
That would be interesting because, okay, so you know how we... do this thing called grounding where we actually walk in the earth and in the grass and it's supposed to release stress and you can absorb ions and energy and because like you're touching that and absorbing something from it. We're grounding ourselves to the earth, which is kind of like what we're talking about with psychometry. You're touching it and absorbing some kind of information or relaxation or
you're putting out that information. Yeah. You're releasing that information from your body.
I just lost a whole train of thought on that. Where was I going with that, Joe? I don't know.
But that's what basically you're doing too is, you know, like I said earlier, we could actually put memories or put ideas into the crystals. And basically, grounding yourself is doing the same thing because you're touching those atoms. And
yeah, so anyways, I just thought that was like, you're taking what you're feeling, putting it into the girth, which is an object, and then psychometry, grounding, I guess. Okay. I guess, I don't know.
But it is. It's the same thing. Just the difference is the art or whatever of psychometry is where you actually do it with an object. And like I said, anybody can do it. You just have to practice. Now, do you know the steps?
I do.
Okay.
And I'm going to try this later, and I'll let you guys know. I was on our Facebook page.
When I was studying this, I was actually thinking we should do live on the air, but you almost have to practice. You really do have to practice.
Yeah, because it's hard to... when, you know, the first thing is you have to clear your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's really hard in this day and age to do that because we have so much information being sent and thrown at us all the time. You're watching a TV screen while you're on your phone and somebody's talking to you and your pets are around. And, you know, there's just a lot of distraction. I don't know if we can really truly clear our minds anymore if we are in the midst of all of this.
You can
radio waves and you know, everything that's going on.
Oh, you mean
on.
Stuff like that. But yeah, you can. Like when I do my float sessions, I think that's, and that's just meditation, same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, let me tell you just a little bit about how you could try and the steps if you want to try this yourself. Now, we're not experts. So don't come back and sue us. Like, yeah, I tried it and it didn't work.
I tried it.
This is just.
And the clowns came.
And then, yeah, Okay, so basically what you do is you're going to find a very quiet and calm location. No distractions. You know, turn off the TV. Turn off your cell phone. Even put it in a different room because you still, you know, want that energy away from you because, you know, there's wires and vibes and stuff coming through the air. Okay, so free of noises, free of distractions. They say to try to do a light meditation first. So set your mind free of the clutter and the blocks and try to open yourself up to receiving information from the spirit world. Now, what I kind of attune that to is that time right before you're falling asleep. You know how you're just laying there and you're just trying to decompress from the day and you're just like, okay, the phone's off, the alarm's set, and I'm just going to lay here and try to fall asleep. And you know how you just kind of go into that little bit of like that nothing phase, you know, almost right before you get that, like, you know,
the jerk,
you're falling off the cliff or something. But just try to just sit back, close your eyes. Ask if somebody's there with you. You could ask the person to place an object into your hands and don't say anything to you about it. So just, or, you know, maybe you'll have somebody leave an object maybe covered up or something. And then you close your eyes and then just grab the object. So it's helpful if you can do this in a group, but if you don't know, and if you don't know who's giving you the object. So it's, you know, it's always good to just like not have any prior knowledge of what you're going to touch. Objects should be something the person has had in their possession for a long time. Quiet the mind once more. Be still. Let images and feelings come into your mind. Don't force them. Just let them appear. Say whatever you see, whatever you hear, or whatever you feel holding the objects. So it's kind of a little bit of like the experiment we did with the noise canceling headphones and the spirit box, just like listening to whatever comes through and just let it out. Don't judge the information you're getting. Just be open to receive it. Impressions that you get might be meaningless to you, but they might have a great significance to whoever, you know, owned that object or brought it to you. Don't edit yourself. Don't try to make a statement, you know, mean something. Blurt out whatever information you're receiving. It's not yours to hang on to. It's just channeling through you. Information may seem vague, but it could be very detailed to somebody else, right? You might just say like, you know, I'm seeing a wedding gown with blue cornflowers on it. And that could be very specific to that person. Like that was their favorite flower. Or her mother wore that wedding dress, you know, something along that line. The more you practice and use this ability, the stronger it will become. Your guides will need to know how to best work with your psychic ability, and you might easily see into the spirit world. You may hear something. You may sense some feelings. You know, maybe you won't feel anything or hear anything at all. That makes sense, but just don't give up. You know, keep trying. Now, a good place to try this at is an antique shop, maybe an estate sale, a garage sale, which it's... I'll tell you a story afterwards. Okay. But, you know, make sure you ground your energy so you feel centered. Psychometry is a great way to practice within the spirit world and to realize that we all have our own distinctive energy and that our energy, ourselves, will never die. It's just going to live on, right? And sometimes things that mean the most to us, and certainly our families, but do, but objects that we held close to us, it, you know, we might be imprinting into that object for somebody else later on down the line too. You know, maybe if you pass on, you know, a pair of your old socks, Joe, to your nieces and nephews and be like, this was my favorite pair of socks. This I hope someday they get vibes off of them.
Favorite pair.
No, and just not to make light of it. But I went to an estate sale one time, and this was last summer. No, summer before. Summer before, because, you know, there wasn't hardly any estate sales last year because of COVID. And I walked in this house, and it was so sad. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. It was just sad. Like, this person had died, and it was clearly, it was an elderly woman. There was a tiny bed and in the ground floor. Like, I could tell by what everything I was seeing that she wasn't able to go up and down the steps anymore. She was kind of had a bed in this old, like, you know, back bedroom. All her things were there, Joe, like everything. Yeah. And I could feel her in that room. I went in that room and I could feel her in there. And it was sad because she's like, these people, these are my things. And everybody's going through them and they're taking them. And it was really interesting because it was like, you know, I picked up some gloves, like antique gloves. And I was like, I was going to buy them. And someone told me, I was like, no, these aren't for me.
Yeah.
They're not for me. And that was weird. And then I went to another one, same time of year. And this lady was selling this, oh gosh, it kind of makes me sad, this wedding dress from the 1800s. It had been in her family for like five generations. And she was selling it at a garage sale.
Yeah.
Why would you ever get rid of that?
I know.
I mean, and I didn't want to touch it because I could tell that it just had so much history and energy to it. I was like, it just made me, I was like, it just like, part of me after I left, I was like kind of mad, like, why would you give away something that has been in your family for almost 100 years?
Yes, I know.
And then just to throw it away, like, I don't know. It was just sad to me. Like, I think of like that with antiques all the time, you know, like family heirloom types things, you know, like dressers and cabinets and stuff. Yeah, those come and go. You know, like that antique shop we went to in New Orleans, remember? Mm-hmm. They had just like all those cabinets and curios and stuff like that. But then you see like the gloves and the hairbrushes and the, you know, old mirrors and things like that. Like, you know that stuff is imprinted into those everyday objects that people touched and had affection for. Like, you know, nowadays it's like we can go get a hairbrush wherever. We could have 10 hairbrushes, not that big a deal. You know, maybe 100, 150 years ago, it was a luxury to have a really nice hairbrush.
They actually had those kits that came with different brushes, and that's what you kept.
Yeah, it's like a comb and a brush and a mirror. And yeah, you know, it's like those things were valuable. You probably got it on your 16th birthday or, you know, something like that. Or whatever it was, you know. And I'm not just saying because it's really, really old doesn't mean that, like, something modern couldn't have what do you call it?
But we look at antiques because they are old and people use them for a long time.
Yeah. Right now, yeah, everything's so disposable now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but, you know, something that lasts over the years and has been passed down for generations and appreciated by generations, that's always, like, I would think that would have some of the, you know, like, psychometry, a lot of, like, energy into that because you have multiple generations maybe wearing a wedding dress or a certain brooch or a piece of jewelry or something like that. I just think
I could imagine if you bought that wedding dress and put it on, if you would get or sleep in it or something, you'd have dreams.
No.
Creepy, but but there's, you know, a lot of people and antique collectors like Kimberly, Kimberly Poppy,
yes,
who goes after the odd antiques, and
she's the coolest stuff.
Third generation antique collector, and she's told us so many stories of different objects that she got, and she called them haunted. But if you think about it, every item is haunted in the aspect of it holding energy.
And memories. Yeah. The baby finger.
Yeah, that's a little different. Now, that would definitely have some energy to it.
She told us too, like, you know, some of these objects she has to put under glass because they move around her the room. Remember the yeah. the table that shattered? Uh-huh. Like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. But yeah,
the,
like
the child's coffin that she owns.
I would just love to like go in a house like that and like be able to try this.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the knife. Okay, don't tell me what it is, but this, you know, yeah. put this in my hands and let me see if what I get. Because I don't think I have great psychic abilities. No. I have good intuition sometimes. But you know what I mean? Like,
but just like you said, in like your directions or whatever it is on how to do it, if you do it over and over and over, you're going to get better at it. And the things about like antiques, and if you get antiques, you almost really want to cleanse them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unless you're collecting them to be paranormal, mm-hmm. yeah, that's different. But I would imagine that you really want to cleanse that item just in case there is anything trapped. Or if it is a haunted item and you don't want to bring that into your house and create hauntings in your house. So, yeah.
Would you have to do that like with every item that
I don't know
that you bring in? Because like I've brought in, like I have a Civil War bullet from Gettysburg mm-hmm. into my house, not even thinking like, this probably killed somebody and their energy may be in this bullet.
Imprinted in that.
I'm like, oh my God, why was I thinking? You know what I mean? Like,
and in order to cleanse it, you cleanse it just like anything else. But the main thing is the intent.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when you're saging your house or that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe if you're feeling that there's something in that item and you want it cleansed, to get a hold of a, should I say psychic or should I say like a paranormal team or?
Really anything. I mean, you could bring in a shaman. I guess you would have to ask that person before mm-hmm. you brought them in. You couldn't just bring them in.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you got to come in because they might not specialize in that,
yeah.
right? If it's something very dark. You know, maybe somebody doesn't want to mm-hmm. even bother because that energy could jump into
yeah.
them. But, you know, what I always think about when we talk about psychometry is the bones from the bone house.
Yeah.
When Christopher from Haunted Toledo brought the bag of bones
yeah.
into my house. I didn't know it. And then he put them in my hand.
Yeah.
Me not knowing what it was. And the energy that I felt when I touched those bones, I got dizzy.
Yeah.
I felt like, it almost felt like, kind of like a shock, like, you know, you get electrical shock, but it wasn't that strong.
Mm-hmm.
But you could feel energy, like it went up both of my arms. It was so crazy.
I remember that because you did get dizzy. And
I was
like,
woo! Yeah. That's a perfect, like, example of mm-hmm. psychometry. And not knowing.
Yeah.
What that was
yeah.
and what it was about, like, ooh, that energy was strong. I'd like to do it again, but now that I know more about
yeah.
it.
And the same thing goes with the apartment at the Collingwood Arts Center. When you go up to the apartment,
yeah,
me and Sarah and her team, which we didn't even know them back then.
Right.
We were just at the Collingwood and they're like, I was like, hey, you want to go to a creepy room? And they
Everybody's
went in
there. Like, yeah.
And they felt the exact same thing that I did, to where it felt like the floor was waving, like there were waves.
Very strange.
And I get that every time I go in that room.
Yeah.
So that there again is I'm feeling the energy that's being put out by the walls or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I don't think the guy, I thought he died in that room.
Yes. Remember they said he committed suicide.
Okay. Yep. That's what it was. So yep. that could be why.
Yeah.
But
the 80s.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I guess you're not physically touching the room, but you're standing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're touching it through your feet, I guess, through your
yeah.
shoes.
Yeah. Or maybe you touch the wall to steady yourself.
Well, when you walk in, you got to touch the door.
Yeah, that's true. Touching everything.
Touch it. Don't touch anything. Put yourself in a giant rubber suit.
Hand sanitizer. No, but, you know, I think it's fascinating because, you know, I've heard stories, and you probably have heard them too, and our listeners, you guys probably heard them, about a psychic or a medium or a clairvoyant or clairaudient or somebody with some kind of, I'll just say anybody with some kind of gift or an ability, touching something, maybe article of clothing, being able to see, like you said, mm-hmm. a movie of this person. It could have been, you know, somebody who's missing, a child that's missing. somebody, you know, unfortunately, maybe they got in a situation and were harmed or killed, and, you know, the person trying the psychometry is able to put clues together for law enforcement or maybe the family to give closure. I would think that happens a lot than we hear about.
I did hear about that, where one psychic, and I'm sure a lot of them do, but I mean, say the one that I was studying up on, he actually would go into the woods and walk around. And if there's a missing person, let's say in the woods, and he would almost touch the trees and see if the person walked past and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And then if they do find a body or bones, he can touch that and get that feeling, and almost like a plays a video of what happened to that person. And I'm sure, I mean, we do know some psychics personally that work with police to find missing people. And cases. I wonder if that's how that works. I don't know.
I would think so. I would think it's definitely like, you know, your energy leaves an imprint somewhere, because like, say if you're in that situation, you know, you're probably very emotionally charged, you know, like, I'm not trying to make light of it or anything, but like, you're going to die, or you're in a situation where you're being harmed. There's a lot of raw emotion there. It could seep into, you know, anything really. And like, if somebody has that ability to be able to extract that from the environment.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's sad. That makes me sad. Like, I don't know why I get so sad all the time. Cause I always think about like bad things that happen to people, you know? And I was like,
that's the environment right now.
Yeah. I know. It's just, it's sad. I just, I don't know.
We have to do our float sessions and bike ride and get out in nature and all that stuff.
Yeah, you get to a point where
get the happy back.
Yes, I would like some happy back. And I think, you know, because we don't have that energy of going to conventions and being able to reach out to people and our friends and, like, you know, see people that you would always see at the conventions and hang out and meet new people. It's really messing with everybody.
It
right?
is.
Like,
yeah.
We have all been through it, you know? It's like, I guess this is like maybe the closest thing to, like, you know, like, just, I don't want to say war, because I'm sure that's totally different.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably a bad analogy. Bad analogy.
bad.
But, you know, it is time for us to, like, just really start living and being kind to each other. I'm telling you, people driving crazy, people acting crazy, people treating, you know, these poor fast food workers like garbage. And it's like, it's so unfair that, you know, like, it's been really rough on everybody. So just take it easy on each other.
Chabella.
Yeah. But do you want to like try this sometime?
Yeah, let's
like,
do it.
We'll have to find one of our friends who has some kind of object that we don't know about, and then maybe we'll experiment. And then we can come back and tell you guys a little bit how it went.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do it at our Butler show.
Yeah, if anybody's down in Butler, Pennsylvania for the Butler Paranormal Convention, that's an awesome show. We've
that's
been
so
to it
cool.
4 years now. This year we're going, but we don't have a booth.
No.
We're just going.
We're going to go to attend one.
Yeah.
Joe and I, 1 year, we did so many shows, but we never could, like, listen to the speakers or anything because we were always at our booth. So this year we're like, you know what? We're going to go and enjoy a conference.
Yeah.
We're going to attend. We're going to shop the vendors. We're going to, you know, talk to and if we're really lucky, find some haunted locations, but like where we're going.
I did look around Butler. There's a little town called Mars that has a spaceship in the middle of downtown and stuff. So definitely going to check that out. It's like a 20-minute drive. Who cares?
Do you remember when we went to Butler? I think it was Butler. And there was a guy who came up and was telling us about, and I don't know if it was Butler, but I thought it was, that he had some really interesting haunted things going on his family's property, and it was like Civil War related.
Really?
Do you remember
no,
that?
I don't
Maybe
remember
he was
that.
Just talking to me. Maybe you're off or something. But he was saying that I think it might have been somebody we interviewed or talked to because he had a book.
Okay.
He had a book, something about gold. Hmm. And they had found some kind of Civil War something or other, but it was in that area of Butler.
Okay.
We got to look
into it. We'll look into it.
Yeah. It's a mystery.
But if any of you guys are actually going to the Butler conference, hook us up, man. Stop and say hey.
Hey, hey. We'll have our 222 Paranormal t-shirts on.
Yeah, and we'll have our recording equipment, and maybe we'll have a pre-show party Friday night at the hotel.
Yeah, right. We'll
party.
We'll interview in the lobby. Which we've done before. Like, that's life on the road, right?
Yeah.
But no, guys, we really, you know, we appreciate you guys listening. And if you've done psychometry experiments, let us know. We want to hear about it. I think it would be fascinating what you guys came up with and what, you know, you would have to say, okay, this is what I heard or thought or saw. And then what really is that object all about? You know, like comparing the two, like
how was the freak out zone?
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, also, before I let you guys go, we are always talking to people and they're always asking us where to get ghost hunting equipment. And we recommend that you go to Ghost Stop. They're the people that actually deal in real ghost hunting equipment. I've said it before where I bought stuff on Amazon and you get it and it's not what it said. And you're not dealing, you're just dealing with a giant box warehouse instead of somebody that actually deals in the equipment. So Jen will put it in the show notes. If you can, just click on our link. Even if you don't buy anything, just click on the link and look at their page because it does show them that we are letting you know. And if you do buy something from them, we get a very small percentage of the sale.
Penny.
It's an affiliate, Mark. It's an affiliate link.
But
and
no.
Let's say you buy something for $20, we probably get 6 cents, you know, or something. But it all adds up, and it gets us gas to go to Butler.
That's right. No, but guys, definitely check out GhostStop.com. I've personally bought equipment from them a couple of times. I bought Joe a REM pod. I bought him a SB.
Their new device. SB7 type
device. It's really slick. It's got all these features that we don't know how to use yet.
I still haven't.
He's had it for like a year.
I still haven't figured it out.
But anyways.
I guess I should read the manual.
That would help. But anyways, guys, you know, like, I know you guys are really into equipment and stuff, but I'll just give you one word of warning. Don't buy anything on Wish.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
get it from Wish, whatever it is.
We bought, they had K2 meters. And it looked the same. And I'm like, I got two of them. And it looked just like it, but the printing was off a little bit. It was the cheapest imitation.
It was like a hollow shell.
I emailed them back. And I even put both the real one and that one up against my fuse box. And the real one went bang to red and the other one didn't even light up.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, you know, even if you have to pay a little bit extra, you're getting a real tool that you're going to use from a company that can help you with it and back you up if it doesn't work or that, you know, I mean, it's electronic.
They stand by there.
Yeah. Their instead products. Of just buying something from a giant warehouse. But anyhow, that's enough of my ranting.
Oh, and I do want to mention one thing. You know, Joe and I, we travel a lot. Haven't been, you know, with quarantine, but before that we were going. And one thing we love is our snacks.
Oh, yeah.
And I found this new snack company, and they're not sponsoring this. I'm just telling you because, you know,
we're going to try to get them to sponsor us so we get snacks.
They're called Pop Daddy Pretzels. They do popcorns. It's locally made in Michigan, right in Whitmore Lake, where our good friend Dana has her tattoo shop, The Lovely Monkey, where you can have areola and breast tattoos for reconstruction for women who have had breast cancer or some type of breast issue. So definitely, you know, like, check out Pop Daddy Pretzels.
Yeah, I tried
them. They're so good. They're Parmesan garlic pretzel sticks. And they could just pay us in snacks, right? No,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
I was surprised that they're from Whitmore Lake. I'm like, I'm up there all the time.
Joe's there all the time.
And if you want to listen to a little bit of Dana, playing the bass guitar.
Yeah.
Let's play Take It Away.
And her tattoo shop's haunted, by the way.
Yeah, Ghost Cat.
Ghost Cat. All right.
So let's hear Dana play Take It Away from 60 Second Crush. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hi, guys. Love you.
And remember, get up on our website and buy some damn t-shirts.
Buy shirts. And go ghost hunting and tell us about it. Bye.
See ya.